Hello, and welcome to The Second Row. I am Letitia, also known as Lady P, and I'm so excited that you decided to join me on today on The Second Row. Thank you again to everyone who's been joining, who's been leaving comments, sending me messages. I truly appreciate your love and your support. It means the world to me. And so we continue on this journey together on The Second Row. And again, thank you for joining me. Today is a MOTW. I've had such great response from people about how these MOTWs have been helping them. And so, I've just been getting confirmation that this is what's needed some weeks. And so that's what we're going to continue to do today is an MOTW. This week's MOTW comes from Acts 16 chapter verses 25 through 34. Pastor didn't give us a subject this week, but I'm just going to go through what we talked about, what he talked about, and maybe you can kind of come up with your own subject, your own way to remember what this was about. I had some ideas, but I'm going to let you have your own idea this week on what you think the subject should be. And you know what? Maybe we can do that. Put it in the comments. What do you think would have been a good subject for this message? So again, Acts 16 chapter, verses 25 through 34. It is the story about Paul and Silas being locked in jail. And so we're going to talk about all of that story and what that entails and what some of the nuggets he pulled out from that scripture. Beginning with the story of Paul and Silas, the reason why they were locked in jail is because they actually spoke against one of the fortune tellers that was in the town. And so they spoke against her and they were locked up while they were in jail. We all know if you're a Sunday school child like I was, we all know that while they were there, Paul prayed a prayer and Silas sang a song. That's what the folks say. So while they were there, we don't know who did what, but that's usually how people say it. But they were praising and worshiping even though they were locked up. And so pastor started out by giving us some background information about praise and worship. First, he said, when you set out to do the Lord's work, you will face obstacles. We all know that. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks. When you set out to do the Lord's work, you will face obstacles. You will run into those who sing your praises today, but it won't be coming from a good place. They'll sing your praises that they love you, but as long as you are helping them or speaking something that they agree with. But the minute you may go against what they agree with, they're not going to sing your praises anymore. Or if they sing it, it won't be from a good place. It won't be from a sincere place. Let's say it like that. It won't be from a sincere place. So we have to be mindful of that. We have to also be mindful that we can't do the Lord's work based on people's praises. They'll love you today, this morning, and hate you by midnight or 9 o'clock p.m. So we just have to be mindful that people may sing your praises in the morning. They were singing Hosanna, Hosanna to Jesus and then crucify him. So be careful that what you do is not based on what people's praises, not based on the likes. It's not based on the comments that they love you. It's based on what God has said and what you're supposed to do. Some people will compromise the word for likes. Social media has put us in this place where we want to be, we want to get the comments, we want to go viral, we want the likes, and people have to be mindful that you don't compromise the word, you don't compromise the Lord's work in order to get those likes. So praise and worship. Praise, worship, devotion. He talked about the differences between those. Devotion comes from the heart. He said at one time we used to have devotion service. We didn't always have praise and worship service. We had devotionals. You would get up, go to service, and someone would get up and they have devotion service, and one person will sing a song and another person will sing a song. That was typically called devotion. That comes from the heart. And we made praise and worship in more of a talent show than a time of worshiping and praising God. And we have to be mindful. We have to be careful that praise and worship does not turn into a talent show, doesn't turn into who can sing the best and who can out sing the other. It is a time of worshiping God. We traded spirit for sound. And I thought that was profound. We traded spirit, the praise and worship time. We traded the spirit for how well it sounds. And so that's not the purpose of praise and worship. Your praise has the power to change your life and change the life of people around you. And we got to remember that. I'm going to come back to that. Okay. Your praise has the power to change your life and change the life of people around you. Praise, the Greek word for praise, is to be thankful, or the Greek definition for praise is to be thankful for what God has done, to declare the good news to others. Praise is an outward expression, not just to God, but it allows others to see how good God is. Praise and worship is a lifestyle. So it's not just standing before people. I'm on the praise and worship team at my church. So it's not just standing before people every Sunday morning to sing songs. It is a lifestyle. It is a way you live every day, that you are declaring the goodness of the Lord, that you are letting people know that God is good, and you're showing them by how you live. It is a vehicle to get us to God. Praise and worship is a vehicle to get us to God. So we talked about what praise is. Now, worship is when the Greek word for worship means laying prostrate before God, is a direct conversation with God. You're focused, you're humbled, you're paying to God only. It is an intimate time, and it's personal time, it's private time. And he showed an illustration. He had one of the young boys lay on the ground as laying prostrate. If you're laying prostrate with your face to the ground, you don't see anything else around you. And so that is your private worship time. That's what it should look like. You don't see anyone around you. You're not paying attention to anything around you. It is private, personal time between you and God. So Paul and Silas, excuse me, were locked in jail, and they were in the inner jail. Like they were, it was so dark. Dungeon, think dungeon. That's how deep in the jail they were. And they were chained hands and feet. And so they began to praise and worship. They began to sing songs, praise God, and pray. And it says, the Bible says, at midnight, there was an earthquake. And when the earthquake happened, the shackles came loose, not just for Paul and Silas, but for every prisoner that was in jail. All of the shackles became loose. Your praise and worship has the ability to open doors for others. Remember that. So Paul and Silas were the only one doing praise and worship. But the effects of it, the consequences of it, was that all the jailers were released from their shackles. So when that happened, the jailer woke up, when he said it, and I've read that scripture many times, the jailer woke up. So how did he sleep through the earthquake and all of this commotion going on? Mm-hmm. He'll that's what the Lord would do. So he will sleep through all of that. So when he woke up, he realized they were free. And so he got nervous. But let me go back. So they were, all of the jailers, Paul and Silas, everyone was free. And so they were free in the midst of it. Their praise and worship was meant to glorify God. Paul and Silas's praise and worship was meant to glorify God. And so in them doing that, what happened was everyone was free in the midst of the jail. They were free. So the praise and worship is not to free you, but to let you know God is with you. And so it was not just to free you, but to let you know that God is with you. So even in the jail and they were free, they had to realize that, yes, God is with us. But they didn't leave, which was so strange, because think about it. If you're locked up in jail and your shackles are set free, most people are going to run away. They're not going to stay, but they stayed. Your praise and worship sets you free. It won't let you leave because someone needs you. And so they, again, were set free, but they didn't realize that when they didn't leave, what was going to happen. So the jailer comes in. He realizes that everyone is free. He knew that his job was to make sure that they were not set free and that they did not leave, and he goes to kill himself. And Paul and Silas says, no, don't harm yourself. We're here. Everyone is still here. And so when the CO, correctional officer, that's what I'm going to call him, when he realizes, okay, nobody's left, everybody's still here, I'm not going to lose my job. He realizes, I need the God that you serve. And so he says, I want you to come to my house, and you go read it for yourself. I need you to come to my house, and I need to be saved, and my family needs to be saved too. And so out of that scripture, and we always, if you've been to any service and anybody has preached about Paul and Silas, they usually get to a point where they stop. At midnight, God releases them, the shackles are free, and your praise and worship causes that. But what we got out of it this time is that their praise and worship was not for them, and their release was not for them. It was because the Lord knew that the jailer needed to be saved and his family needed to be saved. And this was how that was going to happen. And so we have to remember that again, and I said it, I was coming back to it, that praise and worship is not just to help you. It is to help someone else. It's to help someone else in their situation. So the praise and worship released them. And even though they had the opportunity to leave, they stayed in the midst of it because there was a blessing for someone else. And so where you may be going through some things and you've asked the Lord to release you, to set you free. And he has, but he has set you free, but he hadn't told you it's time to leave. Was because he wants you to stay there. Even though you're free, he needs you to stay there because someone needs to see God through you. That blessed me. We can be in the middle of something and we don't understand. Okay, God, I want to go and I need to leave and I don't understand why you got me here. But there is always a purpose on why he has you where he has you. And transparent moment, there was a time where I work now. I have been there for 18 years and there was a period of time that it was hard for me. It was a hard time for me, and I applied for other jobs and got interviews and did not get hired. One time I interviewed so well, and I really thought I was going to get the job, and the person that interviewed me, one of the persons called me and said, I wanted you to have that job, but they decided to give it to someone else. He said, you were the person, you were who we needed. But they decided to give it to someone else. And I didn't understand why I could not be released from that place. But the more I am there, the more I realize there is a purpose for me being there. There are students that I needed to meet. There are people that I needed to come in contact with. There are coworkers, there are parents that I needed to come in contact with. And so I just remember the day that I just resolved in my spirit that, okay, Lord, I'm just going to stay. Like, I'm going to stay until you tell me it's time to go. I even went and got another degree. Like, I did all the things to prepare to go and get another job, but I just was not released to do so. And so when that word came through Sunday, it just settled me to know that you are there for a reason. And I need you there because I need representatives in that place. And so I'm good with it. I'm okay with it. Are there days that I feel like, what in the world? Absolutely. But I am settled in my spirit to know that God has me there for a reason. Why get free and run from your assignment? That was it. I was like, yep, that's okay. Okay. I prayed for this. I prayed for a job where the job that I have now. And I'm there, and there it's an assignment. It's not just a job. It is my assignment. And so that question, I had to write it down. It stung me. Why get free and run from your assignment? So we have to pray and ask God, okay, God, I'm here. Is this my assignment? And what is it that you need me to be doing? It wasn't about Paul and Silas. It was about the jailer. It was about the jailer, and they had to go through everything that they went to in order for the jailer and his family to be saved. He's an extraordinary strategist. I learned that years ago from a pastor that came to our church. God is an extraordinary strategist, and we don't understand why things happen and he placed people and we have to go through the hard times, but there is something bigger in it that we don't understand. And in our prayers, we should just ask God, you know, show me. Let your will be done. Your perfect will be done. And if you can show me, show me. And if you can't, just help me through it. Help me through it. And I promise you, he will. Again, I've been at my job, my career. I've been in my career now for 18 years. And so this past week, I had former students come to me and thank me for helping them. I didn't realize it at the time, how I was helping them. And now that I think back, to that time. That was a tough time. That was doing one of those really challenging times. But again, I was there for on an assignment, and I had to remember that. And that's the same for you. If you're in a challenging space right now, if you're in a space where you just feel like it is just everything is just, this is not what I expected. This is not what I want. I need to get out. Ask God, is this my assignment? And help me through my assignment. Okay. And so that's what this MOTW was about this week, is understanding that even in the midst, even when God releases you, he has you there for a reason, and it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. Remember that. Praise and worship. It's not about you. It's about, well, it is about you, but it's also about helping someone else. All right. So this week, as you go through your times of praise and worship, just remember that it's not just about me. This is going to help somebody else. All right. So I thank you again for joining me on the second row this week. I pray again that these little MOTWs help you, give you nuggets to make it through the week, give you something to feast on. And again, remember, subscribe, like, share, follow, tell somebody about it. Tell your first lady, tell your friends, tell your kids, watch it. Tell someone. There is something in it for everyone. And I hope that this is helping you like it's helping me. I pray that it is blessing you like it's blessing me. Remember again to subscribe, like, follow, and share. Tell someone about it. Leave a comment. Let me know. And leave a comment. What do you think this week's subject should have been? I would love to hear from you. Take care of yourself, and remember, no matter where you are, no matter where God has placed you, accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it. Thank you. See you next week.